Right, so we're beginning the fifth perek of Mishlei. What I wanted to do with you also, even though it's completely coincidental in a sense, happens to be that the Vilna Gaon mentions a word that's rare, Av Tit, Ayin Beis Tes Yud Tes, which comes from Av Thick and Tit, which is mud, cement, you know. In other words, the use of the Gaon, of the Av Tit, in front of you, about Kol Machmas Hayetzer Hara Shmachbid Olav Avtit. So it's like he's miring you in the mud, in the quagmire. You know, you might even say in the quicksand. But because that word is rare, I wanted to show you where the makar was. So the makar happens to be in Chavakuk, the second perek. Meanwhile, Chavakuk, the second perek, has so much in it that I wanted to learn the perek with you, at least the first number of psukim. So we have in our sheets basically two sections. One of them is the Mishlei Perek Hey from psukim Aleph to Vav with the Bir Hagra. And the second section, which begins on the bottom of page 2 and continues until the end, are the psukim in Chavakuk from Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Yud Aleph. Some of these phrases, by the way, are very well known to you, either Kilishainai or Me'ein the Lashon. Somebody wants to say, I'll talk about it in the future, I'll write about something at some other time. He uses the phrase Ot Chazon Lamoed, which comes from this second Perek. And of course, the Apopishis Mamea Im Koza Achakelo B'chol Yom Sheyavo. This is from Pasuk Gimel, the same Pasuk that begins with Ot Chazon Lamoed. So you have the very famous psukim, famous expressions, and I thought that it's kedai. There are also the big yisoid of tzaddik beraloi, berosha v'toivloi, is discussed here in these psukim as well. So let's go step by step. The psukim in Mishlei, b'ni l'chochmosi hakshivo l'svunosi hatoznecha, v'shmor mzimos, v'das fasecha yintzoru, k'nofes titop nosif seizora, v'cholok n'shemen chika, v'achrisa mora chalano chado kecherev piyos, v'agleo yordos moves sh'ol tza'odeo yismoichu, oira chayim pentef aleis, no'u magloiseho loiseido. Basically, the theme and the concept that is being expressed here is found in doublets, in couples. Each pasuk has two sections. B'ni l'chochmosi akshiva, parallel to l'svonosi hatoznecha. L'shmar mizimos, v'das v'asecha yintzaru. K'novitz titofna sivsei zora, l'cholok mishem enchika. What is the theme? The theme is that a person has to be very diligent in his learning of Torah, and remember it thoroughly, and be able, of course, to apply it, because there's a tremendous sakana, because the Yetzer Hara is extremely devious. And the way in which the Yetzer Hara functions is that it attracts you with sweet molasses, as it were, and with beautiful words, and it tries to ensnare you and entice you. But in the end, it's bitter vigal. It's mar kelana, and it is sharp as the most sharp of swords, and it leads to death and destruction. So you have to be able, says the sixth pasuk, to properly judge your steps, because it's very easy to go off the track. So the theme is a very basic theme. Let's see how the Vilna Gaon shows the difference between these parallels, as he does in all the psukim of Mishlei. B'ni l'chochmosi akshiva k'mo sh'amarnu l'malo shemitchilo tzorcha adam l'ilmod u'lekabel mirabo v'chakach yehegel hizbonei. So he says the tvuna is a personal thing. It's something that you analyze after you hear the masaira from the Rebbe. There's no such thing as just listening to a shir, by the way. That's what he's saying. It doesn't matter what shir it is. Nothing can remain with a person unless he harvests in it himself. That's number one, even as far as memory is concerned. That's why somebody comes back and tells me, I loved that shiur. No, so the Lashonis, they mean well. They definitely mean well. I gave a shiur the other day to a group of high school girls, basically, and my Rebbetzin asked one of the girls, how was the shiur? Amazing. This is a code word for anything from decent to super gewaltig. It's amazing. So, you know, sometimes even something that's a Lashon Nekiyah is leaves a lot to be desired. But the point that I'm making is that that entire shiur was basically tearing them to shreds. But it was amazing, and with that they have parked the shiur in just the right place, you know, adjacent, not quite, but adjacent to the trash can. But because the nature of a person when they hear Musar is to reject it, to put up all kinds of defense mechanisms. Either because they don't want to condemn themselves, that's part of our nature, to always come out okay, or because they realize that if there is truth in whatever Rebbe is saying, then they have a lot on their agenda to fix, to change, and to do. And there's a certain amount of avoda. Avoda? Who wants to do avoda? So people, either because they're afraid of accusing themselves or they're lazy, basically. That's what it comes to. It's a spiritual kind of laziness. But it's laziness just the same. They really don't want to invest themselves in the words that they hear. So what do they do instead? They convert it into a piece of art. In other words, it's something that speaks to you, but on an entirely different plane. It's interesting, it's fascinating, and eventually it's amazing. So that is exactly what he's saying. Without the Hizbonanus, whatever you hear from the Rebbe, it's not going to remain, number one, nor is it going to have the impact, nor will you be able to use it in your life, or if it's pure Torah, to develop the theme further. Everybody knows that Binah, Hizbonan, is Maven Dover Mitoch Dover. I remember many times that Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, Chayilim Abay, used to say that his avoda in constructing a shiur is not in the original blitz. It's not in the chap. It's making that spark concrete. Because a spark is exactly that. It's a flash in the pan. And unless you give it substance, unless you give it a malbush, it won't last. So how to convert that into a permanent flame is a tremendous avoda. But that's in the creation of the shiur. We are now talking about, you hear the shiur, what's next? So that requires its own bina. In other words, there's bina in the creation of the shiur, and then there's bina in the assimilation and development of the shiur. Because the Talmud has to take that shiur and develop it further. And this is true in Musar as much as it is in Kochim and Taris. So he says, V'yodua shelizbonein v'leida hadover alburyo tzorech hatoyas ozen yoser shelo yipol midivrei rabo shum dover arza. What the Vilna Gaon is saying here on the surface seems to be like, you know, just a few extra words. It's such a profound thought. Basically what he's saying is you cannot hear with half an ear and then do all the tvuna later. It doesn't work like that. A person can't say, well, I'll figure it out later, or I'll understand it better later. Because it's only according to how much you assimilate that you're able to be mizbonein. So that's what the Gaon says. V'yodua shelizbonein v'leida hadover alburyo. Means lisbonin doch means doch afterwards. Didn't he say that lisbonin is later? V'acharkach yehegel lisbonin. So now the Gaon says, but you should know that you don't have the ability to be mizbonin unless you have the shiur. And the only way you have the shiur is shelo yipo midivrei rabo shum dover artsa. I want to just be moisif that there are two ha'aris here in one. Number one, if you don't have all the connectors and you don't have the shiur from beginning to end, you're probably missing a lot of points. But number two, and this is much more important than the first, if you don't have all the points, it could very well be because the shiur is very difficult. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about focus, concentration, and interest. If a person is latching, you know, there's an expression, hanging on to every word. You know, everybody understands what that expression is trying to convey. That, you know, that every word, how could I even miss a single word? How could I miss a pause? So hanging on to every word makes the thing precious. According to the amount that it's precious to you, that's how much hezbonenus you'll put into it. It's a very pashut zach. That's again where the sutton says it's entertainment. The minute it's entertainment, you don't need hezbonenus because it's not that precious. In other words, I have a stack of shiurim, CDs, tapes. I have hundreds of them. So they all merge into one large pile of entertainment. I remember once someone was maspid his father. His father had passed away, a balabos. The son was trying to reflect upon the milus of his father. So he said that there was one tape that he had from the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation or something. It was about the Lashon Hara. And there was another tape that he had about Kass. And he used to play these tapes over and over and over again. So somebody offered him another tape. So he says, when I finish this tape, I'll take that one from you. And he was trying to say that he didn't just listen to the tape. He was building himself. He was developing his character. He was trying to reconstruct himself based on the musar that he was listening to. And he felt that until that tape made the reshim on him that he felt it needed to make, what's the point of listening to another one? I'm still in the midst of this avoda. And I thought that that was a remarkable thing for anyone, balabas or rav, to realize that the tape is your Rebbe and the lesson is the lesson. It's mashal mahadava daima. I always wondered, I'll give you two examples of what I'm talking about. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the Goyin Hador. I mean, everyone's maskim. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula. And he was a phenomenal genius. And he was a tremendous Eved Hashem. There's nothing wrong with him, so to speak. So he passes by, and there was Reb Zundel in Salant, whom he knew, and whatever. It wasn't like he it's not like he walks into a forest and sees this strange hermit that's sitting there, and he utters six words, and that, you know, somehow. No. He knew him, and knew of him. And one day, Reb Zundel says to him, Yisrael, lern Musa, und wer ayirei shamayim. Now, what does that mean to you? Now, really, I'm serious. Let's say I'm not Reb Zundel Salant, that's the problem. But let's say I would tell you, learn Musa and become yirei shamayim. So for how many of us would that become a turning point in our lives? Maybe none. In fact, it's a pretty... It's an innocuous statement. It's a there's nothing there. It's not even a grow on Mishlei. It's done. Learn Musa and yirei shamayim. So you have to have a certain ear to be able to hear. And that's also part of hanging on every word. Because it's Reb Zundel Salant talking, and he's talking to him, and he knows who he's talking to. And Afal Pi Kein, he's telling him to learn Musa. And he's still telling him that there's madregas in Yirei Shamayim that are to be reached. And all of that is going into the mind of a tremendous goyin and tzaddik. And somehow that percolates into a transformation entirely. It's an incredible thing. So this idea of being able to hear, and you have many examples of this. I remember that it's like part of Ein Lecha Adam She'ein Lo Shah also type of idea. I remember I was trying to impress upon somebody that he should remain in learning. He was a very, very chashuv fellow, and there was a lot of pressure on him to leave the yeshiva. And one day I just walked over to him, and it was the right time and the right place and the right matzav that he could hear a very simple thing. And that whatever I said to him is not negeya. But at that moment he made up his mind, where all of the musa shmus and all of the hacking and all of the discussions that we had for hours and for days suddenly came to its moment of truth. There's a way of hearing something, not just a way of saying it. And of course it does depend on who says it. That's why it says in Rabbach Doima L'malach Hashem Tzvachis Bakesh Torah Mipiv. So you have to be zeichet to such a Rebbe. But there's no question about it that sometimes the simplest words can have the most profound impact. just because the listener is hearing with a certain set of ears and a mind that's open and a heart that's ready and available. And that's a critical nekuda. There are many examples of it, but let's go on. So he says, See, the Gaon was bothered by something. There's a kasha built in to the way he's explaining it. His kasha is, if I'm right, that tfuna is something that you do yourself, so how is it that the pasuk ends, pasuk aleph, l'svunasi hat oznecha? Because tfunasi is already the bina of the shir. And the bina of the shir is something you do yourself. So why do you have to lend an ear? Lend an ear means when you're listening. So that's what the Gaon is masbir. The tachlis of the bina that comes later begins with a special listening. Because if you don't have that acute hanging on every word, the personal bina later will not be able to happen. That's what he's driving at. L'svunasi, l'sbonin, adav al-buryo, hat oznecha yoysen. Now the next pasuk, lishmar mezimois, v'das v'secha yinsayru. Zok de gra, v'ama, lishmar mezimois, hu apnimius, v'das v'secha, sof is always min asof v'lechutz, even the positive things, that's the chintzainius. V'ama yinsayru, ki das hu anaf hatvuna, uksiv tvuna tinsarecha, which we had already. And that so he says that ultimately you have chokhma, bina, and das all over again. It's very fascinating that, you know, sometimes you need a Vilna Gaon to notice something. But sometimes just, you know, it's in front of you. You can't possibly not notice it. Even if it's not in the same pasuk, if it's in the next pasuk. But look what we have over here. Chokhma, bina, and das. Das for secha yinsaru. And that's what he says. As the Gimel Rishonim Chabad, Chokhma bina v'das. So, why is it so critical that you should hang on every word and analyze it deeply? And we're talking about Divrei Musar and Hashkafas Olam. Because the threat is very dangerous. Ki noifes titoifna sifse zara. Noifes, right? L'chein tzorich lishma me'oid ha'chochma v'hatvuna, ki noifes v'chulu, v'heim yishmerucha min ha'isha zara. The strange woman, the alien woman who's always trying to entice you, isn't necessarily talking about a woman, because everything here is martial. But the imagery is, interestingly enough, that of a woman, that noifes titoifna. So listen to what he says. Shalidvar mitzvah, koidem asiyas ha-mitzvah, kosha olav miyoid leilech acha ha-mitzvah. Ki ha-yetzu hara machbid olav, umi she yishaber oisoi, tzorech leilech bepesach tzar v'koton, v'lizbol ha-yisurim, u'lizgaber neged miniyas yetzu hara. I have learned this line, these few lines, 100 times. And I have to tell you that I find it to be excruciating almost in its truth, in its exposition. You have to understand something. When you have a mitzvah to do, and I'm not speaking present company excluded, just the Gaon is talking about, in general, Avodas Hashem. One would expect, you know, that As kanome kal kanesha rotz katzvi v'gibor kari is a very easy thing. You'd think that a mitzvah, you know, if you believe, if you don't believe, it's a different story. If you're going through the motions, it's a different story. But if you believe, and there's this incredible schar, so what's holding us back all the time? Whether it's learning or whether it's doing a mitzvah, if it's the slightest tircha sometimes, it suddenly becomes unbearably difficult. But what made its roshem on me, what impressed itself upon me, is the language that the Vilna Gaon uses here. Even if it's being copied over by someone who heard the shir, But he wouldn't use these lashonis if he didn't hear it from the gong. What he writes, Tzorich leilich bepesach tzar v'katon. You have to find a little opening. It's not, you know, like it's not a wide open door that you could just go, move, do it. Pesach tzar v'katon. That means you have to find the opening because it's very narrow and it's very small. V'lizbol hayisurim. This is the most incredible thing. What is this? V'lizbol hayisurim. What am I? What mitzvah is he talking about? He doesn't mention which mitzvah. Yeah, you're talking about a kohen that discovered that he's a kohen and has to give up his grusha. What is lizbol hayisurim? What yisurim? When yisurim? So he's telling you an amazing thing, that the yetzer hara has a koyach to make doing a mitzvah painful. And we're talking about Aruch Yidden. We're talking about people who have rebbeim. We're talking about people who are listening to Torah. They're always. Ulizgaber neged minias yetzahara. But then he says, V'acharkach be'eis asiyosa gamkein ein loy hanoa mamash mimeno ba'olam hazeh. He says a very interesting thing too. He says, you know why you don't enjoy doing the mitzvah? He says, a mitzvah should provide you hanoa in this world. The reason you don't enjoy it is because hakol machmas yetzahara Shemachbid olav avtit. That's where he has that word. Now, I was thinking to myself that if we all knew Tanakh, we would see this phrase and we'd say, oh, yeah, sure, it's a pasuk in Habakkuk. You know? But take a look at pasuk Vav. Aloy ele kulam olav moshal yisou umelitzachidois loy v'yoymar hoy hamarbe loy loy Ad Masai, Umachbid Olav Avtit. So we'll look deeper into what it means in a moment. But the Pasuk is saying that the person says, it's too much for me, I can't handle it, I don't want it, it's not for me. And Machbid Olav Avtit, he makes it just so, so difficult. Like somebody stepped into a heavy mud and it's so hard to walk, it's so hard to pull your feet to make the next step. Machbid olav avtit. It's an image that is very, very stark. So who is this troublemaker? The Vilna Gaon is using the phrase from the Pasuk. The Pasuk might be referring to something else, but the Gaon is using the phrase from the Pasuk that the Yetzer Hara makes everything so heavy, so difficult, so painful. Yisurim. As it does that, even when he does the mitzvah, he doesn't have the proper hanor. Vako machmas yetzer hara shemachbid olav avtit, avol ha'isha zora noifes titofna be'es pituyeha kodem asiyas ha'aveira. So he says, it's very interesting the way he split the two apart. The Vilna Gaon learns that the reason that you have to have lishmar mezimos v'chulu is even when you're about to do a mitzvah. Because there's two kinds of yetzer hara. There's the yetzer hara that prevents you, and there's the yetzer hara that makes you do the aveira. So the yetzer hara that prevents you makes everything good look heavy and difficult and distant and impossible to achieve, and not kedat. And to do the aveira suspends your ultimate judgment and destroys your character for the split second, and says you're a corrupt person who has a tremendous taiva and a tremendous satisfaction that you'll have from doing this aveira. So it's mamish dover v'hifucho of the reality that the Ribbono Shalom has in the real world. Our world is so upside down. That's olam hafuch ra'isi. So memela, what we see in this world is that our appetites are excited by the wrong things, and our willingness to do the right thing comes with a great deal of pain and you know, frustration. All right, I'll do it already. What are we talking about? A mitzvah. A mitzvah. So imagine the schar of the mitzvah and the hatzlocha of the mitzvah. The fact that I'm doing the ratzon haboyri should itself be a tremendous satisfaction. Why isn't it? The Teretz says, because the satan makes it heavy. It makes it impossible. You know the famous mashal of that I quote all the time from the Dubna Magid on the pasuk v'loy oisi karasa yankev ki yagata bi Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you didn't call me, this is not the address of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you're getting exhausted from my Torah, it's not my Torah. Because from my Torah, you don't get exhausted. There's no Oyeh Fi Yogeya. When are you Oyeh Fi Yogeya? When it's V'lo Yirei Elokim. So he uses a marshal, very simple, simple marshal. The two people got on the boat with exactly identical luggage. When they got off the boat, one of them grabbed a suitcase and then simply started going. So the other fellow says, wait a minute, how do you know that's yours? Maybe you took my suitcase. He says, no, it's impossible. He says, why? Because I lifted up for a second both suitcases. Your suitcase is very heavy. All I have in my suitcases are feathers. It's very, very light. It can't be that I took the wrong suitcase, because my suitcase is light. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, you must have taken the wrong suitcase if it's too heavy. Loi oisi karasa. You didn't call me. You didn't call to me. You're not following my precepts. If you got to be, if you got exhausted from me. But the Gaon says the Satan makes it so that somehow it's so hard. So hard. That's the way it is. I asked once some Talmidim who were Balei Tshuva. I asked them, how do I know certain things I don't know? Because I don't have my personal experience. But I have my shlichim. So I asked them, when you used to go to the movies, did you ever fall asleep in the middle of a movie? This is after he fell asleep in my shir. I asked him, did you ever fall asleep in a movie? He says, no. So I said, what's the difference between the two? So, by that time, he was very Bala Madrega. So he knew that I wasn't asking him to answer. Well, what's the difference between the two? It's very simple. Here the Satan says, watch, watch, and have anah. And here the Satan says, what are you going to get from this anah? You're so exhausted. You were up a whole night. You're there's such a big mesechta. There's so much to learn. You know, you don't understand every word anyhow. So there he goes, falls asleep. It's an amazing thing. People fall asleep during shiurim. They do not fall asleep during programs. They don't. Ever see a person fall asleep playing cards? I never saw a person fall asleep playing cards. I never saw people playing cards. But I assume that that's the case. People do not fall asleep. You know, when he says, you know, I'll raise you one. What's the expression? I don't even know what that means exactly. But anyhow, there's such an expression. I'll raise you one. So, you know, I want to raise you also. I said, people fall asleep in the middle of Shia. I want to also raise more than one. But the fact of the matter is that you don't fall asleep. A person's watching a horse race. You know, maybe in baseball, a type of people do fall asleep. Doesn't change the fact that it's the national pastime. Just goes to show what the sugar develop this is. But the fact of the matter is that the Satan has a meiridike koyach and shlita over us. As it says in the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, if it wouldn't be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya, we wouldn't be able to withstand the Satan for 1 minute. And it's real. It's this is not gedarshit. This is the mitzias of our lives. And he's saying that the Satan has this meiridike tar. You see, it's a tarta disasre, both going against us. On the one hand, mitzvahs, the Satan makes us exhausted. Averis, the Satan makes us fresh. Fresh, young, enthusiastic. And of course, it comes in the guise, in the mashal, of an Isha Zora. Because she's full of beautiful sense, and she's very appealing and very attractive, and she's very enticing. So he says, Neufes titoifna, the last line of the first page, Pituyeha, koidem asiyah saveira, v'cholok mishemen chiko be'eit sheyitam min haveira, hu cholok mishemen lacheich. This is also, the Vilna Gaon is introducing, you know, you have to understand something. The Gaon was the chmamish, the tzaddik yisar olam, they call him a Gaon, a chosid mevilna. The chosid was the same level of godless that the Gaon, just like he was a Gaon, was unique in the world, came out. So too Chassid was unique in the world. Don't make any mistakes about that. Now where he knows all of this is incredible. So someone once said, I wish I had your Yetzirah. He says, no, you don't wish that. You would never wish that on a dog. That wasn't his expression, but that's the point. He says, don't think I don't have a Yetzirah. I fight with my Yetzirah. Melcham is like, you know, Gog and Magog. So what his Yetzirah was exactly, nobody knows for sure. But the fact of the matter is that he's saying that it doesn't come easy, even if you're the Vilna Gaon. You know, this expression, Mevilna kemen zayna Gaon, Mevilna kemen zayna Chosid. But that Vilna is not the Dvilna that we're talking about, that I want to go in and hear a shiur and then, you know, I want to listen to it on the tape. This Vilna is a different kind of Vilna. You know, when you want something as Gate and Leban, and you have to have it. And unfortunately, the imagery that we would use for somebody like that would be an imagery of Taipa. Because we don't have it. It's fascinating. We wouldn't bring an imagery of Avodas Hashem if we wanted to show Gate and Leban. Because in the Taipa, we understand it much, much better. So the Isha Zara Dagon says is a two-pronged attack to do the Avera, which is amazing. First of all, to push you to get the Avera to happen and to enjoy the Avera itself. But there is an unbelievable payoff, which is the expression Baboiker Betseis Hayayin. You know, by Avigayo, Baboiker Betseis Hayayin. Baboiker Betseis Hayayin is when the person after the Avera recognizes his corruption, his failure, and his complete emptiness. It has left him with no satisfaction at all. You cannot put anything into the bank. Nothing. And that's what he says. So he says, each one of these phrases in Pasuk Dalet is parallel to the phrases in Pasuk Gimel. In other words, Bishas Maisa, it's Cholok Mishemen. Before, to push you to do the Aveira, it is Neifes Titoifna. So what is Dalet? So that's what he says on the top of page 2. Bachrisa Mora Kalana, Keneged HaNeifes Titoifna. Chada Kecherev Piyos, Ugneged Cholok Mishemen Chika. Right? Because not only is the palate of this woman smooth, not only are her words smooth, but the sword that comes after you is also very smooth. It's so sharp, it's so smooth in sense of sharpness that you can't even touch it. A lot of times you touch the edge of the sword to see how sharp it is, like a chalif. He says, this is so sharp that you can't even touch it, because the minute you touch it, you're bleeding. The idea that the Goyen is projecting here is that in the end, the Avera destroys the person. And that's a very much an Olam Hazeh consequence. We understand that in a number of ways. In a number of ways. But it's an extremely corrupting and debilitating thing, Averis. You know, I was thinking recently, and I mean, I have to own up to a Hergish that I had. You know, you people have a childhood, and then they have an adolescence, and then they have an adulthood. And the childhood they dismiss because we were babies, we were kids, we didn't know what we were doing. Adolescence you dismiss because the Yetzer Hara was overwhelming and too powerful, and Mamela, whatever happened, happened. But what a person has to come up with in the end is, and there's no way of escaping that thought, that we are the products today of that childhood and that adolescence. It's a very remarkable expression that a person is about tefillah, correct? So there are madregas and milas that you look for in a shaliach tzibur about tefillah, including kailoi arev, right? Pirkei noe. What is pirkei noe? His perek is pleasant, is fine. It means that he had a chashuva childhood, a chashuva youth. It means, in other words, that he's okay from the beginning. It's a special maila, it's a madrega. And you know what it is? It's that there's no such thing, and that's why there's a total misunderstanding of what a baal tshuva is. Really total misunderstanding. We always use the word baal tshuva today to mean somebody who was totally fried and became religious. And I think that that's a horrible mistake. We should never have used that word. Never. Because it eliminates the true meaning of Baal Tshuva. Avada, that person is doing tshuva, but that person is making a total transformation. And the sense of it is that we have, when do you have to make a total transformation? When you are completely without Torah and mitzvahs, and now you are joining the group who are shomer Torah and mitzvahs, and you do as they do. So that's a Baal Tshuva. You don't need the Maisa with Reb Moshe to tell a story of, you know, they used to come later in the years, they used to come with their Talmidim, Rebbeim from different yeshivas, and, you know, just pasha to get a bracha from the Gadol Hador. So Reb Moshe noticed that there was one young person that was brought by one of his Rebbeim, whatever, that was hesitant to approach Reb Moshe to get the bracha. So Reb Moshe says, "Vos vata?" I mean, somebody was saying, like, you know, why doesn't he come over? So he says, "Ahot meira." He's afraid. There's a Baal Tshuva. So Reb Moshe says, "Zogem as ich will euchet sein a Baal Tshuva." Now, I don't know the exact nusach. Ich will euchet sein. Ich bin euchet a Baal Tshuva. Or the medafen alle sein Baal Tshuva, because I've heard different versions. I wasn't there. Aber wir sollen nicht sein. What Reb Moshe was saying is, you don't need that story. The fact that that phrase was co-opted is a terrible thing. Because the etzem yisoid of our whole avoda, all of us, shomer Torah mitzvahs, coming to shiurim, learning bahasmada, everything, is to become a Baal Tshuva. Because what the Goyim said a little while ago, which we should still be ringing in our ears, is that the whole tachlis of our existence in this world is that tomorrow should be better than yesterday. And we should be able to overcome more of a Yetzirah today than we did the day before. So this idea of growing and facing challenges that we were not able to overcome before, and now we are, which is proof of our growth, it makes us Baal Tshuva. And the notion that this is something that's alien and foreign to us leads to another corollary, which I've always thought. It's much harder to be this kind of Baal Tshuva than to be the Baal Tshuva that's transformational. Because no one chaps that this Tshuva is equally transformational. Because you're doing the same things. Or you think you're doing the same things. Take a person who's davening. So we said a Shmon Esrei. Now this Shmon Esrei could be the mouthing of words. It could be even worse. It could be a person who looks at his messages during Shmon Esrei. It's Maisim B'chol Yom nowadays. He's not being mafsik. He's not saying a word. He's not answering his phone. He's just checking who just sent him a text message. All right, you know, I've spoken about it many times. It's unfathomable, to be honest with you. But people do it. That's called the Shmon Esrei too. And then there's a Shmon Esrei, where a person cries B'dmo Yishalish by every Rifa'enu, because he knows of someone who's not well. And he takes this Rifa'enu seriously, that's all. There's no Tifa Tiris here. The reason he's crying is because he takes the Rifa'enu seriously. It's not because he's a phenomenal Baal Madrega. He just takes it seriously. The Rabbanu Shalom is a Reifei Kol Basa. He's a Reifei Cholim. And the Rabbanu Shalom is Mafli Lasais. And Rabbanu Shalom could change things Keherifayin. And Memela, I'm davening to Rabbanu Shalom Ratavit. Very poshut. And in the Baruch Aleinu with Parnasa, and in Shema Kaleinu with whatever else is on the person's heart, and Das Heizke davened. Now, in that davening, there are Madregas, Madregas, and Madregas, and none of it has to do, I'm not talking about the esoteric Kavonis of the Ari. I'm talking about the basics, the olive base. So how is it possible that we should not recognize that we have opportunities to be Baal Tshuva and that we are constantly in the process of recreating ourselves and building ourselves? And if a person isn't, he's not worth anything. So the idea here, I thought, and this is a thought that I had before, that our childhood is so crucial. It's such a crucial thing. And it's really a gedr of chaval al da'avdin if it didn't happen right. Because the formation of the person who could have been is always there to haunt you. And it requires just a little bit of hisbainanus. I could have learned that mesechta is nothing when a person regrets that he didn't learn that mesechta ever. and now he doesn't have the time, or it's too late, or it's too hard, or he doesn't have the Rebbe, or whatever it is. But it's not that. It's the whole person, the whole gestalt. Our kindness, our generosity, our closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam, our sense of family. You know what it means for a person? You know, this happens all the time, because people speak to me always about their marriages. Sometimes people get divorced after 40 years of marriage. But sometimes the exact opposite happens. They fall in love after 40 years of marriage. How could that be? The Teretz is because all the garbage has been flushed out. Just by virtue of being together, you get to know one another, you accept one another, and you stop all the nonsense, and all of a sudden you discover the person that's there. Now, isn't that a beautiful thing, that people should feel that way after 40 years? The answer is, it's a tragedy of all tragedies. But what about all those 40 years? What about all that time that was lost in fighting and infighting and biting each other and accusing the other of not being sensitive or this or that or whatever it is? So, chtoizen tazachem. I mean, what has gone through these 2 years? I mean, it's the chneira v'oyim. And then suddenly you come to a maskana, you know, it's pretty good. But I don't mean it's pretty good. There was a fellow, they tell a maisa, the fellow that got into a big fight with his wife, and he schlepped her to the rabbonim, and the rabbonim tried to dissuade him, of course, and he says, no, I'm finished with her. No, nish is nish, what can you do? So he gives a get. So yes, the rabbonim to hang around because he wants to shtel a chuppah. Chuppah? You can't shtel a chuppah. You just got divorced. No, he says, no, I want with this one. He says, with this one? What are you, crazy? He says, for a zivug sheni, she's not bad. You know, for a zivug sheni. I'm telling you, it's like this tragedy, it's meisim b'chol yoyim, Rabbi say. It's meisim b'chol yoyim. So what was all the ribbon get all about? Person doesn't even chap what the union was anymore. Doesn't chap what the union was. I don't know. We just got on each other's nerves. We didn't see eye to eye about this, about that. You know. And the same thing with so many other inyonim, person's childhood and his youth, you know, lost opportunities. It's unbelievable. And then later, to fix, to repair, to change. And even then, you still lost all that time. You know what the Vilna Gaon says, Lifnei Miyat Ha'asid Litein Din V'Cheshven. Why the redundancy, Din and Cheshven? He says, Din is for the Aveira, and Cheshven is for the time lost while we're doing the Aveira. All the learning that could have been done, all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, it's a bit of a zach. So if the person becomes an emes about tshuva, the taich of Zdoinois Nasen like Zechuyos, Rabbi say, is not just legabe schar. It's in the etzem yisoid of the person himself. And that's why it's such a terrible thing that we think of Bali Tshuva of recreating themselves if they started with no mitzvahs. No mitzvahs. They were eating chazer. And now they're shayim Torah mitzvahs. That's a Bali Tshuva. The Bali Tshuva is the person who makes zedoyne zechuyos because he catapults himself out of his mess and reclaims, like you reclaim a swamp. He reclaims the past by creating the person that he is now, in spite of all the efforts of the Satan and the Yetzirah. So the Gaon says that if Chas v'Shalom a person fails, he's lost Olam Hazeh, long before we start talking about Gehenna. Long before we start talking about Gehenna. You know why? Because the person that he could have been never happened. And it is my thesis that every Yid could be a Gadol. Not necessarily in Yediyas HaTorah, but he could be a Gadol. And you find many times, you look at a high school yearbook, this is Maisim B'chol Yom, also Badukum Menusa. And you look at 90 pay pictures, and you remember what they were like Bishas Maisa, and who was a Baal Madrega, and who was a Schlepper, and who was a this, and who was a that. And then you look at them later, 50 years later, 40 years later, 20 years later, whatever it is. And they're already mature adults and they're in society. And the pictures don't match, Rabbi say. Not necessarily. You know why? Because some of them never lived up because they faltered later on. And some of them became Baal Teshuva in whatever godless they projected later on. You would never have expected that that's what would have happened with them, because B'shas Maisa they weren't there yet. So the Gaon says this one line over here: Zayrekes Mamora v'Achakach Meimis Oisai Shemeimis Mikol V'Chol Ba'Olam Hazeh U'Ba'Olam Haba. So this Redifa Acha HaTayva, not only does it cause punishments, the biggest punishment is the person not becoming who he is. Sok the Gaon. I would like to finish the Gaon and then be able, whatever the next time is, to do the Chavakuk. Magleo Yodas Mavis. Sha'ol Tzadar Yitmoichu. Elu Beis Kloli Dinim Sha'acha Misa. This particular shtickle, which is mostly the parentheses, which is the Ha'ara of the Magia, and this is connected Chochma and Tvuna. I had a very simple ha'ara. I think that Klal Yisrael, even in the best of places, has slowly but surely veered away from talking about Mavis and Sha'ol and Gehenim and Chibut HaKever and all of these things. I think it's for two reasons, neither of which are valid, and both of which are very harmful in the end. One of them is, the tendency today is not to scare people out of their wits in Yiddishkeit. You know, everything is good, but you could be better. It's everything is good. Everything is good, everything is nice, and everybody should be happy. That's number one. I think what that does is it diminishes severely the erech of things. You know, it isn't communism and capitalism is the same. Because, and it isn't that this tyrant is the same as that tyrant. It's not. Because this tyrant can murder babies by the millions. And this tyrant, you know, is not a nice guy. He likes to amass fortunes for himself. It's not the same. And that everything should be molasses and everything should be soft-pedaled in Yiddishkeit, it's not so. When the Rabbeinu Shalom says, V'nichrus ha'nefesh ha'hi mikerev ha'meha, he's saying something. It isn't the pasuk in the Torah, Shnai Mikra Vechatargu. That's number one. Number two, I think we have very severely damaged our emunah. Very severely damaged our emunah. There isn't a sense that that the Masair of Chazal about the realities of the world are, you know, person Chas Shalom is Nifter, we go to the Levaya, there's a mitzvah for Levaya, and some Rav or another is going to get up and say, we're not being misabel for the person who's nifter because they're in a much better place. Now, first of all, that's not necessarily so true. That's number one. But that's not what I mean. I mean, it became a phrase. It's like in a much better place. If a person doesn't have a sense of Gehenim, he can't have a sense of Gan Eden. And if a person doesn't have a sense of this, he doesn't have a sense of Tchias HaMeisim either. And everything gets meridik ageshvacht. And in a world that is so atheistic to begin with, we are losing ground. Even the people who are themselves, you'll ask them, you're ma'aminim? Say, yeah, we're ma'aminim. But it's not with that kind of clarity, because it's never taught. And this is a very, very terrible thing. One person you cannot accuse of not teaching it is the Vilna Gaon. Constantly drumming away. And this is, of course, one of them. Kasha yoreid l'gehenem oz chavli chatosai Yitmuchu Oisai. Ve'imanichan Oisai la'alois misham. It's amazing. This is the footnote. But he describes how a person going into Gehenna is so pulled down. You know what it's like? It's like when they have a ship. The ship has an anchor. And the anchor does not let the ship sail to accomplish anything. It doesn't move from the spot. So he says that person could be anchored in the Gehenna in such a way that even his mitzvahs and ma'isim toivim cannot accomplish anything. It's a lot, but let's just learn the last pasuk. Biur agro mishli perikay pasuk vav. Orichayim pentafales. Pentafales. You know, peles. Somebody asked me the other time what peles means. I told him it means to weigh, to judge, to discern, to discriminate. Peles v'shokal ba peles. It's like moznayim. So orichayim pentafales kloimar. Pen chas v'sholom taniach shetefales v'tachria isha zora es arachayim. In other words, you imagine a seesaw, right? So when you're on one end of the seesaw and there's nothing on the other end, you're all the way down. What happens if a person gets on the other end of the seesaw that weighs twice as much as you do? So of course that side will go down and you'll go all the way up. We don't want that this Isha Zara should be the machria that makes your life go in a certain direction. So Oirechayim Pentefales, the tough is on her, that she should make the Moznayim Hachra in her direction of your life. She shouldn't take your life and turn it sour by overwhelming you. V'tachriya ha'isha zora es ha'orachayim v'telech tzas b'dova mu'at achareha. Now the Vilna Gaon here also says a mayor, there's a tremendous psychology in these few psukim. Tremendous psychology. He says, don't think that the Yetzirah says, I'm going to hit you with an atom bomb and then you'll be mine. The Yetzirah says, I'm going to make you forget to make a brocha achrona and then you're going to be mine. That's what he says. The Isha Zara makes a wink with her eye. And you don't even think you're doing anything wrong just by looking at her, so to speak. This is all a mashal. The Isha Zara is a mashal. But just like in the mashal, unless you're doing something really heavy duty, you could think, all right, this is not so terrible. So that's where she gets you. Because that's going to happen 2 minutes later. So he says, no maglosel, what's the last part? No maglosel lo seda. You hear? No maglosa shehen drachel. That's the real McCoy, right? Yinu oischa ad asher lo teda klal ezehu derechayim. There's always talk about vayelchu achrei ahevo vayehebolu. That's my famous shtickle. What does it mean vayehebolu? They became hevel. I always ask the question: how is it possible if ein adam chayte elam keinichnas by ruach shtus? So how much ruach shtus can already go in? How many times does a person fall prey to the ruach shtus? But you see people that their whole lives is fraudulent. Their whole lives is a failure. So what's ein adam chayte elam keinichnas by ruach shtus? So the answer is sure. At the beginning, ein adam chayte elam keinichnas by ruach shtus. But enough chatoyim of nichnas by ruach shtus, and all of a sudden it's not shtus because the person doesn't have the ability to identify shtus. That's vayelchu achrei ahevel vayehebolu. When you chase after hevel enough times, hevel becomes reality. And you become that hevel. That's what I told you, that your heroes become the ball players and the musicians who are totally themselves corrupt, and in any case the thing is worthless. So how could it be? You see a yeshiva bacher that's sitting there with a Reb Kiva Eger and another bacher that's sitting with this music. As Chmamish is, you can get sick from it. Your mamish can get sick from it. This bacher is kainu olam haba. This bacher is kainu olam hazeh. That's olam hazeh. The rest is hevel. So vayelcha achrei hevel vayehebolu. Says the Gaon, at the beginning it's pentefales. It means you're a little off kilter. The seesaw is going in the wrong direction. But eventually there's no seesaw. There's nothing alternative. There's nobody sitting on the other side. Because you and the Isha Zara are on the same side of the seesaw. Then there is no seesaw anymore. Seesaw is only when there's a struggle. Seesaw is only when there's another tzad. But no maglosa, and then he says, v'loy seda, you won't even realize that you are with her. Because the corruption, the co-option of the person is so complete that it doesn't even chap that there's an alternative, that there's another way. So there's 100 mishalim of that sort of thing. People keep Shabbos. They think they're keeping Shabbos. That Shabbos not a Shabbos. The Shabbos is with the New York Times and in shorts and sitting and hacking a Chinook and talking Lashon Hara about everybody under the sun because you have plenty of time. That's a Shabbos. Thus says Shabbos. So the Torah says, yeah, he's a Shomer Shabbos. He doesn't work. He doesn't even turn on the lights. How could you accuse him of not being a Shomer Shabbos? It's a Shomer Shabbos of a person that's vayelchu achrei ahevel vayehebolu. He's already, there's no seesaw anymore. It could also be a Shomer Shabbos. Of course, is that worse than somebody who's not Shomer Shabbos? That's a different story entirely. It's not worse, but he's a lost soul. I think there's so many of us that are like that. Baruch Hashem, there are many that are not, but a lot of people who, they don't chap the inyan b'chlal. They just don't chap. That's because it's already, that's what he says, k'mo she'amru l'mala kol b'e'ha la yeshuvun v'haynu mipnei she'lo yasigun arches chayim. All right, we should be zeichet to be amongst those who are masig arches chayim.